We're going to look at Peter's denial. Jesus is in the last moments before the cross. He has just been arrested there in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is an olive grove. And it's an area, it's a park-like setting area that the disciples, including Judas, are familiar with because Jesus would often go there. It's a place where Jesus and the disciples would spend time. Many times, I'm sure they stayed overnight there. And Judas comes, and he's accompanied by 600 Jewish temple guards. And they carry lanterns, torches, and weapons. Now, Jesus has 12 disciples, and yet they come after him with 600 temple guards. Judas has been given 30 pieces of silver to identify Jesus as the one that they're seeking. And this is money that's been given by the chief priest. And it's all that Judas would just point out, identify Jesus. And it's peculiar how Judas identifies Jesus. It's with a type of greeting. He gives him a kiss, and I'm sure it was on the cheek. And it's a form of greeting in that culture. But to say that 600 temple guards is an overkill is it's a statement that kind of sets us back. 600 of them. But the Jewish leaders and authorities, they show force. They don't want any slip-ups on the arrest of Jesus. And Jerusalem, at this time, at the Passover, it's a hotbed for trouble. And there's literally thousands upon thousands of Jewish people that crowd into little tiny Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. But the Jewish authorities, they now have their enemy, and that is Jesus. But this time, as before, Jesus, when they wanted to arrest him, just passed through their midst. This time, there's no passing through the midst of them. They have their prey, and they're not about to let him escape. And we see the intent of Caiaphas, the high priest, when he declares, it's expedient that one man should die for all the people. The Jewish leaders fully intend to crucify Jesus. So let's pick it up in John 18, verses 15 through 18. John 18, verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest, and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" And he said, "I am not." Now the servant and the officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. We have Peter, and he's following Jesus at a distance. The other disciple that is mentioned happens to be John. John, the son of Zebedee. And John's father and John ran a fish market trade and would sell salted fish to those who could afford such delicacies. So John is known by this wealthy high priest as Zebedee's son, the fish vendor. And John, he goes and he speaks to the doorkeeper, this young servant girl, and he says, let my friend Peter in the courtyard. And she opens up the door for Peter to come into the courtyard. But this servant girl, she has a question for Peter. Listen to the wording of her question. You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? The way this servant girl asks the question is sort of intimidating. You are not one of this man's disciples, which would lead Peter to say, I am not. And Peter makes his first denial. In our court systems today, lawyers are not allowed to ask questions, leading questions such as, you do not still beat your wife, do you? You answer yes, you're condemned. You answer no, you're condemned. They're not allowed to ask leading questions. Either answer would condemn you. Peter has two concessions to his conscience. He's already conceded in two ways. One, he follows Jesus from a far distance. He wants to see what's going on. Curiosity is probably bringing him there. And two, he's now there by the enemy's fire, warming himself. In Matthew 26:34, Jesus tells Peter, assuredly, for sure, before this night passes, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will deny me three times. I don't think it's dawned on Peter, this first denial. It was just so quick, so automatic. And he simply denies knowing Jesus. This question by a servant girl in the house of Annas. Annas is the high priest, and she has probably heard much conversation in this family, in this home, about Jesus. I'm sure that the talk of the household has been that Jesus is a fraud. He's an imposter, because the Jewish leaders didn't believe in Jesus. And he for sure is not the long-awaited Messiah that everybody else is looking for. And I think this helps her formulate the question about, you are not one of this man's disciples, are you? It's a condemning type question. We are to be careful how we answer leading questions. You are not one of those Bible thumpers, are you, who believe the Bible to be completely true, are you? Yep. I was answering a man's question one day, and I was giving him a biblical answer to his question. And he was a believer, and a third person comes up and he says, now don't go quoting the Bible, Don. I responded, would you rather I give you some vain philosophy of man? Is that your preference, that you want to hear philosophy? We should not be offensive in our witness of Jesus if we can avoid it. But we should not be intimidated into silence either. Don't let the world, don't let people intimidate you with their questions. And I think Peter has fell victim to this intimidation. Because only a few moments before, Peter, in his determination to stand with Jesus, his determination to be willing to fight for Jesus, cuts off Malchus's ear, and Malchus happens to be the servant of the high priest. But this young servant girl, brings Peter to denial. Here's Peter, 1 minute willing to, you know, slice and dice, use the sword, and then the next moment won't even admit he knows Jesus. Peter has changed who he hangs around with. And the peer pressure that Peter feels brings a retreat away from being a disciple of Jesus, that he now denies Jesus. And then we have the scene that changes and we go to the high priest. So let's look at John 18, 19 through 24. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret, I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me and heard what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. This is the first breaking of the rules, the out of order that the high priest will perform. And they're out of order by asking a leading question. You know, you're not supposed to ask someone on trial questions that will condemn them. You're supposed to bring forth witnesses. And they ask Jesus about himself and his doctrine. And they weren't supposed to ask those questions. You couldn't ask somebody to condemn themselves in their court system. And the second no-no is they have brought Jesus to trial at night. You didn't do that. You waited till the light of day to bring somebody to trial, especially if you're going to try them about their life. And that was the second thing they've done out of order. But Jesus answers the question of the high priest, and he says, "I spoke openly in the temple where your leaders always gather, and in secret I said nothing." Then Jesus corrects the high priest. "So why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me. They know what I said. Where's your witnesses? Ask the witnesses." And Jesus is correcting this high priest that has brought about him being struck in the face by the guard. Verse 23, "If I have spoken evil, what is the evil? But if I spoke correctly, why do you strike me? Why do you break your own law?" Annas, and Annas is the father-in-law of the high priest. Well, Annas responds by sending Jesus to Caiaphas. And Caiaphas is the son-in-law of Annas, and he is the high priest. But he sends Jesus, and he's still tied up. They still have him bound, and so much for the justice system of the Jewish authorities. They break their own rules. But let's go back to Peter's denial, and that's in verses 25 through 27. "Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, 'You are not also one of his disciples, are you?' He denied it and said, 'I am not.' One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, 'Did I not see you in the garden with him?' Peter then denied it again, and immediately a rooster crowed." We have Peter. He's still in the courtyard of the high priest, Annas. And Peter is there. He's sitting among all these opponents of Jesus, and he's warming himself at the enemy's fire. Why does Peter hang around? Why is he even there? Perhaps it's out of a strong curiosity. What will become of Jesus? Peter wants to know what will happen to Jesus. And there's a large crowd there in the courtyard. So let's read. We'll jump over to Luke 22. You might want to find your way. And Luke gives us more details about Peter's denial. Luke 22, verse 54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, You also are of them. But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." Galileans had a little bit of different dialect in the Hebrew, and so they recognized that he was a Galilean by the way he talked. But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. This same servant girl, and now they were the least of all the servants, these young girls, and she looks at Peter intently. She gives him that look and declares, "This man was also with him." Peter's reply, "Woman, I do not know him." A little time passes. Another accusation against Peter of being a disciple. But again, Peter denies, "Man, I am not." And then we have the space of about an hour that passes. And another person confidently affirmed Peter as a disciple, for Peter is a Galilean also. And Peter, for the third time, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." And while Peter is right in the middle of his denial, the rooster crows. And all hear this rooster. Even Jesus hears this rooster. And Jesus turns and he looks at Peter. Then Peter remembers the words of Jesus. "Before the rooster crows, Peter, or before this day is over, you will have denied me three times." Side note on roosters. Roosters were banned from Jerusalem during feast. And they banned roosters from Jerusalem because they were so messy and they were a nuisance. Yet in the silence of early dawn, the crowing of this rooster is heard loud and clear. Now, if anyone lives where chickens roam, and they have roosters, they still declare a new day. They still crow. And Jesus turns and he catches the eye of Peter. And just looking at Peter, he said, "I told you, Peter, I told you you would deny me." And Peter, just an hour or so previously, was swinging a sword to fight and defend his Lord. Now Peter cowers in fear. And all they're accusing him of is knowing Jesus. That's interesting. He's in fear. We look at church history and it tells us that whenever Peter would speak or preach after this, there were cries of roosters that would come forth from hecklers. They would heckle Peter with making the crowing of a rooster noise. It's been said that even on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stands up and preaches to 3,000 and 5,000, that there was those there that would crow like a rooster when Peter stood up to preach. Peter, he hears the rooster, Jesus hears the rooster, and they lock eyes with one another. And in that moment, Peter realizes his failure of courage and his failure of faith. What does Peter do? He goes out and he weeps bitterly. Now that's a sad place to leave Peter. But Jesus, after he's resurrected, he seeks out Peter and he restores him. And then one of the gospels were told, Jesus says, I will pray for you. But for the rest of Peter's life, a rooster crowing is a vivid reminder of his denial. What if you had a reminder like that? In and of ourselves, we have all failed our Lord in ways that we have thought impossible. If you haven't denied your Lord, then time will come. And you may do it inwardly. You may do it silently. So, join Peter when the Lord restored him. Jesus came to Peter, restored him, brought him back into fellowship. Allow Jesus to bring each of us in restoration back to him, us back to himself. For we are all like sheep who have gone astray. Every one of us have denied our Lord, either in silence or inwardly or outwardly, and we have restoration by Jesus. Our God is not a God of second chances. He's a God of many chances. Time and again, I don't like myself very much when I'm even silent about the things of the Lord. I often say, well, you could have said something, Don. I don't like it when peer pressure pushes me into silence. Now, I'm not saying we're to be offensive or just be rude, but we don't have to be silent either. So there is restoration for Peter, and there is restoration for you and I. So let me get you to stand, and we'll close in prayer.